Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Woo, we made it, everybody. Happy Friday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on this beautiful, beautiful Friday morning. And so great to be here with all of you guys. And here with the boys, I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer, imaging director of the program. Morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Oh. What a question. Without a real answer. I don't know. The answer is I don't know how I feel right now. I feel pretty good. I'm also...
Should be feeling great.
I mean, it took a lot out of me last night, certainly.
Playing for a natty.
A natty, which is insane to me. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports tech. I brought you a gift this morning.
Huh. An orange?
Yeah, from the Orange Bowl.
Oh,
yeah,
I get
there
it.
You go.
You got that
so
from
I,
the Orange Bowl.
I got it. I want you to take that, and I want you to suck it. And I want you to suck on it hard and long and fast.
For the vitamin C.
Correct.
I see.
And
yeah.
Deep. Suck on it. Ben.
Congratulations. I don't know why you're not feeling better.
Are you kidding?
This is what you dream of. If you're a fan of a team and they get to this level, an actual championship level, this is what you're hoping for. I mean, everything else was worse than this.
Is it?
And your hair.
It's excruciating. Last night was a full body breakdown, meltdown, the whole thing, you know? And somebody had tweeted last night, an old Irish alum that I follow. He said, caring again is really hard. It's very difficult. Yeah, I told you at the beginning of the year, and I think I've told you at the beginning of the season, for the last 7 seasons that we've worked together, I'm emotionally invested, but I'm not psychotic. I'll get my 10 wins. I'll maybe win or lose some crap bowl game, and we'll move on to the next year. I'll call my dad in the offseason. How we looking? My dad will say, looking good. Love this guy and that guy. And I'll go, sweet guy, sweet old man. Yeah. And we'll get our 10 wins, and we'll move on. This is a different ball game altogether. This is the real deal. And watching that game last night, a tale of two halves, certainly, I was as a wreck as I've ever been. And then when it ended, surprisingly, I was emotional. Tears. Like real, legit tears after that game. When that field goal went through the uprights, bro, I lost it. I mean, I lost it straight up because you start thinking about all the memories. You know, me with my pops going to games. I looked back at the pictures when I took Bo to his first Notre Dame game last year. And my experience is different. And, you know, I actually had a guy reach out last night, and he goes, can you explain your fandom to me? You didn't graduate from there. And I go, no, you're right. Here's my fandom. My dad went there. Huge, huge Notre Dame fan, obviously, went there. I couldn't get in. My grades were beyond pathetic. So I went to Holy Cross, which is across the street, which is where Rudy went, the community college. And it took me all of about 3 weeks to realize, yeah, you're not going to get your grades up here and go across the street. You're not getting in there, dude. You're not smart enough to go to that university.
Was that perhaps the first indication? Yeah, start at Holy Cross,
yeah.
Get some decent grades, and then transfer to Notre Dame.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. I mean, that's kind of what everybody that goes there wants to do. And few do, but my experience was that of a Notre Dame student because I worked at a Notre Dame bar. All my friends went to Notre Dame. All the girls I dated went to Notre Dame.
How much would you compare it to somebody graduates high school here, they go to Mesa for a couple of years, hoping to transfer into San Diego State, but you're still going out in PB or whatever with all the San Diego State students?
You know, I don't know. I feel like it's different because South Bend is literally, it's just a college town.
Sure.
That's all it is, right? Here is different. It's
sure.
You have the city of San Diego, yeah. You know, the whole thing. So when you're there in South Bend, your entire world is Notre Dame. And so I had that experience of being there, working at the bar, getting our starting quarterback, Ron Paulus, drunk, I don't know, 4 days a week on Mind Erasers. All my friends.
It's concerning,
I lived
that's
next,
fine.
I
okay.
lived, my next-door neighbors were two starting linebackers, Corey Minor and, oh, God, what is his name? Tate McKinnon.
Did you feel that was detrimental to your favorite football team to get the quarterback drunk four nights a week?
I gotta say, I loved it. I loved being part of my buddy was the kicker.
What's in a mind eraser anyway?
So it's Kahlua at the bottom, ooh, if God. I remember
not
correctly.
Not a good start.
So it's you take a glass and you put Kahlua at the bottom, and then you layer vodka on top of that. Then you put soda water in. Then you put two straws in it. And all
say
you do
it's
is
a Black Russian with bubbles.
Yeah, but then you just do this. You don't sip it. You take the straws and you
double,
you suck it all up
all the way.
Yeah, and that was the mind eraser. So he would drink those. I mean, he was under a lot of pressure. The guy won four
vodka, coffee, and sparkling water.
Yeah, so the Kahlua. So he won four state championships in high school in Pennsylvania. Ron Paulus did four in a row. Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior comes to Notre Dame. Beats Michigan his first game, throws four touchdowns. They said, this guy's going to win two Heisman Trophies. I'll never forget it. And from that moment forward, it went downhill. So my experience, though, I remember being a kid, 10 years old, writing letters to Tim Brown when I was 11 and 12, writing letters to Chris Zorich and Michael Stonebreaker. I remember my dad took me to my first game. I'll never forget this. I told Hannah this morning. This is why I got emotional. I'm probably 11 years old, and we're walking around campus on Friday, and the pep rally's that night, and we did the whole experience. When you go with my dad, you get the whole experience. You don't just show up for the game and go. You do the whole friggin' thing. You go to the bookstore, you go to the Basilica, you go everywhere, the Grotto. So we're walking around campus. My dad gives me the elbow. He goes, you know who that is over there? I go, who? He goes, that's the Rocket. Remember?
Raheem Ismail.
Yeah, Rocket Ismail. So he's walking back from class, and I freaked. So I followed this dude into his dorm at 11 years old to get his autograph. So it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my dad. My son yesterday pasted Let's Go Irish things all over the house. So it's definitely more than just a football game in our house. And so, man, when they won that game, I thought about my dad, who's having a rough time right now and is a little banged up. And I just lost it, man. I just lost it.
We'll get into the specifics of the game a little bit later, but I will say it is so nice. And we've had this experience, I would say, with the Padres last season.
Yeah.
To have a competent head coach / manager, whatever. Guy who just feels like you trust, they know what they're doing, they're making the right decisions, they're preparing their team properly. It doesn't guarantee you're going to win every game. No one can. But you also, I mean, you know, Notre Dame in recent years, you've felt like the coaches just continue to stub their toes, you know, over and over again. And,
yep.
And Marcus Freeman doesn't feel that way. You feel good about him and confident about the guy who's leading your program.
Yeah, Eric says Woodsy is literally the Rudy of radio, but the guy didn't get in. Yeah, after a while, I realized, after talking to people that went there, I went, I don't want to go there. They're all like, on the fringe of like self-harm because they have to work so hard. The school is so tough. And I go, ooh, yeah, no, I don't want that for me. I'll just go to the city of Chicago and do that. So, yeah, man. Eric says, it's hard to imagine a kid that grows up in Texas is a diehard Notre Dame fan. So random. I literally just told you why. I just laid the whole story out. Because my dad...
All right, we'll go to break. We'll do it again.
Yeah, I'll lay it out again. Okay, so when I was a kid, hey, man, my dad was a fan.
Orange.
Yeah, here's an orange. Man, it was special. It really, really was a special, special dub last night. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was as flabbergasted as I've ever been. I still can't get over it.
Well, congratulations. Obviously, Paul and I can't totally share it with you, but we can be happy for you.
I won money last night.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul is sharing it with you as well.
Paul is sharing it with me. I think you're fake sharing it with me. It's fine.
I'm a little fake sharing it with
you. I mean, you can't be a USC fan in any stretch and be like, oh, hell yeah, I'm happy for you.
We missed you yesterday, though, on the golf course.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Paul and I had a really nice time at the Farmers Insurance Media Day.
To be honest. It was different. It was kind of fun, just me and Benny.
Yep, it was just the two of us.
Oh, cool. I'll just go F myself then.
It was, you know, Paul, you and Paulie have a lot of time together with your various baseball teams and stuff. But Paulie and I don't get the same kind of just me and him time.
Hang
it was
time.
Nice. We didn't have anyone playing with us because you didn't show up, so it was just a twosome.
Well, I couldn't show up.
I know. But
a sick child.
But the course was... Going. I've never seen Torrey Pines in better shape.
Really?
I mean, even for the U.S. Open. The course was... So dialed in.
Damn it.
The day was so beautiful. Paulie was hitting the ball well. I was hitting the ball great. I made an eagle
that
on the fifth hole. I haven't made an eagle in like a couple of years. But.
All right. Hang on. Very funny story about that hole. So I was off the green, and Ben was, what would you call it?
About, 15 to 20 feet for eagle. I'd hit a 3-wood from 240.
Nobody cares about what you hit.
Right onto the center
nobody
of the green.
Nobody cares about that part. It was about a 15-foot putt up a massive
tier
up a hill. And so Ben is parking the cart, and I have to chip on, and I completely chunk it. I hit it about 4 feet.
Yep.
And so I drop another one because there's nobody. I just wanted to make sure I could do it,
yeah.
You know, what I was trying to do. And I actually hit the ball about 3 inches away from Ben's ball.
Okay.
Ben now walks up the hill onto the green, and he goes, Paulie, great shot. You can get me a line now for my eagle putt.
Yeah.
And I go, well, that was actually my second shot because I chunked the first one. I was just playing around. I go, tell you what, if you give me that shot, I'll give you your line.
I said, no, yeah,
goes,
go ahead. Take
I'll make
it.
That.
I don't care. I want to see this. And Paulie rolled in his putt.
I freaking nailed it.
No!
And then I knew the exact line.
Is that a good enough line for
and
you?
And I rolled in the same putt for eagle. It was pretty fun. So, it was a beautiful day. And we did miss
eagle.
You.
Eagles are insane.
At Torrey Pines?
At Torrey Pines.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was the new lab putter, wasn't it?
Well, on that one putt, yes. I four-putted 3 other holes.
That's not your fault. That's the greens.
Apparently. Well, greens are tough. Tricky greens. Paulie left after 9. I played 3 more holes, and then I called it a day. It's hard to play by yourself, like between foursomes at Torrey Pines.
You're waiting a lot, yeah.
So, but it was a gorgeous day. We did miss you a little bit, but we had fun. We did have fun. All right, we're going to take our first time out. We'll set the menu for the Friday edition of Ben and Woods when we come back. We got a lot of Padres talk to get to. There actually was some news involving the team yesterday. Plenty to discuss. We will come back after the check of traffic with Kelly on 97.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Damn. I actually put this one in for you, Benjamin, because I know you like this one.
Thank you, Little Simple Minds.
Yeah, I like
on
the
a Friday morning. I like that. Thank
I like
you.
The ooh.
I do too.
Maybe I listen to it over the break.
Ooh.
So I added that one for you.
Thank you.
Simple Mind.
When you program with a little Ben in mind.
With a little Ben in mind, yeah.
I appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome, buddy. I think about you a lot.
Friday edition of Ben and Woods, we actually will be talking some Padres coming up. The Padres agreed to terms with all but one of their arbitration-eligible players yesterday. I was doing the math. We'll go through them all one by one, but Padres ended up spending around, what, $35 million yesterday? You know, not money that's new. Of course, they already knew they were going to have to commit somewhere around that level. And when they get to Michael King, they're going to end up committing somewhere around $43 million in off-season money to arbitration-eligible players just to keep these guys on the roster.
And that's assuming that Michael King and the Padres come to an agreement on,
well, either way,
on a one-year deal?
There will be a one-year deal with Michael King. It's inevitable whether
right.
they agree with each other or let an arbitration panel decide what the number is. He will be signed to a 1 year deal unless they decide to scrap that and go with a long term deal, which they could also do between now and the arbitration hearing, which would be next month. And we'll talk about it. Could this be the first time that AJ Preller ever goes to an arbitration hearing as general manager of the San Diego Padres? Padres have not been to an arbitration hearing with a player since 2014 when they beat Andrew Cashner, I believe, I think Andrew Cashner won that one.
They beat him?
They beat him. Well, it's like, I mean, it's a courtroom contest.
Yeah.
You got one side and the other. Someone wins and someone loses, which is, I think, why AJ Preller doesn't really like doing this, because even if you win, then that means your player feels like he loses.
Slighted a little bit. He and his agent,
you don't want your players to feel like they just lost heading right into the season. But then again, if you lose, you're now spending, you know, more than you wanted to on a player, and you know that's budget that could go elsewhere. So we'll talk about the arbitration numbers yesterday that were reached and were not reached for the San Diego Padres.
You've got a problem.
Also,
San Diego Padre fans, you got a problem.
Also, speaking of problems, a new piece just dropped on The Athletic this morning from Ken Rosenthal and Dennis Lynn, just kind of recapping the legal battle in ownership.
Quickly, before we dive into that, real quick. So just to clarify the Michael King situation.
Yeah.
They're about a million and a half apart.
Correct.
Okay. Didn't they save in arbitration about $1.5 million?
I mean, you don't, there's no...
Well, based on projections.
Based on projections, okay. The Padres did here and there save a little bit with their other five players.
So I did see that yesterday. Somebody like, that's almost exactly the number that they saved. You know, if they were, because there's a, you have a budget, like you do a budget. I don't do a budget, but at your budget, you're like, I budgeted $6,000 for this. I have only spent $4,000, which means I've got $2,000 left, which means I can spend that money or save it. And so I saw people yesterday, I saw a lot of hair on fire, Chicken Little, sky is falling, because they didn't get to that number yesterday. It does not mean that these guys are going to have to go sit in a room and hash out all
not
of
yet.
Them.
Not yet.
Like, what is, all right, here's a fun exercise.
Like, AJ still, to this moment, has not ever gone to a conversation with somebody.
What does a Michael King arb hearing look like? Listen, you're too nice. Yeah, you're too kind, you're too handsome, and you're too well-spoken. You do too much charity work, and I think just generally, your kind attitude is really infecting the clubhouse.
I think from a Padres perspective, it's more, we love him, but the amount that he's asking for above what he made last season is just more than would be typical, even for as good of a season he had.
He had a monster season.
He's asking for too much of an increase from last year based on the precedent of arbitration and what's been set with other players in the past.
And the other thing to keep in mind, I was going to bring this up, but Kevin just did in the chat. He's in a weird situation, right? It's not a Dylan Cease type situation. Dylan Cease is a starting pitcher. Michael King is a newly converted starting pitcher. So maybe that's where that... You try to, if you're the Padres, well, maybe I'll throw out a little bit lesser number, and, you know, we still believe in you, and we still think you will be a, you know, top of the rotation starter for us, but as we get this thing ramped up, we're going to start a little bit lower. And Janine says he deserves it. 1,000%. He was spectacular.
And it's not like he's getting zero or, you know, 9 million. He's going to make either, you know, somewhere
7.325.
Up to 8.8. You know, those are the two numbers that were exchanged. It'll either be one of those. They could still settle in the middle, or they, again, could reach a long-term contract, which, you know, in this piece by Dennis Lynn and Ken Rosenthal, that is the desire still. They would love to sign Michael King
long-term.
To a long-term extension. Is it possible right now and also, you know, remain where they are in overall payroll? And this is why I think... You know, why would you fight over, you know, $1.5 million at this point?
With a Michael King.
You're right on that cutoff of the luxury tax. And that $1.5 million may be the difference of whether you end up under it or over it at the end of the season. So it may be worth it to the Padres to fight a little bit harder just to save $1 million here and $1 million there, because it could end up being the difference of whether you trip the luxury tax penalties or not, which no team wants to trip the luxury tax penalties by, you know, $500,000 at the end of the season. If you're that close, you want to be under. If you're going to go over,
go
15 million over, see what you're going to do. But at the moment, Padres are very close to it, and I would imagine every dollar does have to be accounted for at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you in spirit there, and you're not wrong by any stretch. I do think, you know, rooting for this team to get under the luxury tax is not something I'm equipped to do or want to do at all. I'm not rooting for the financial health of the San Diego Padres. I realize that, you know, you do have to be judicious at times, and it's not like we're paying for some past transgressions here. I think we can all agree on that. There were some contracts doled out that probably shouldn't have been, and that's okay. That happens to every single team in baseball. Nobody does it 100% right all the time. But as you are going to, A, continue to carry out Peter's vision, as you are going to, B, contend for a World Series championship, scrapping over $1.5 million in January is kind of a tough look.
I know what you're saying, and let me put it this way: if you went $2 million over the luxury tax, the penalties would be a pittance. They'd be almost nothing.
Almost nothing.
It'd be a fraction of a fraction. It would be nothing. However, you would have, for $2 million, then set yourself up for next year, multiplying those penalties.
Correct.
Where if you did go over, then you would all of a sudden be costing yourself a ton.
Correct.
So you never want your team to be just a just a little skosh over,
right?
Because you're not paying this year, but you're setting yourself up for future penalties and really discouraging the team then from ever spending money next year, because then they're really going to take it, you know, with big taxation if they try to go above the luxury tax next year.
And conversely to that entire point, if you don't go over the luxury tax, I think that's a problem. Like, I think if you're trying to dance under the luxury tax and go into 2025 with what you got right now, I think that's a problem as well. You got to spend, man. Everyone saw the tweet and we all got the emails yesterday that season tickets are sold out. These fans they want a winner. They want a team that's going to spend and compete.
Well, so, when we come back, let's talk about what the Padres did and did not get done yesterday. We'll go through those numbers and I'll explain a little more on the process of what Michael King is going to be facing with the San Diego Padres potentially over this next month in the, you know, possible first arbitration hearing ever in the A.J. Preller era. First, though, Woods is going to tell you a little bit about Underdog Fantasy.
Yes, sir. California sports fan. Got good news. Underdog available to play here in our state. It's the best place to cash in on all your takes during the playoffs. Which players are going to go off? Which ones are ice cold? I got 3 out of 6 right yesterday. Now, I had watching that game last night, a lot of injuries mounted up. It's fine, man. I didn't put a lot down, but I always have a blast. And they do live updates in there, so you know exactly where your player is. Oh, you need him for 130 yards? He's at 117 yards. Underdog app is the easiest one that I've ever done, and I've done them all. I'm having a blast with it. Going to really dive into the NFL picks probably tonight when I get home, going through making my picks for the weekend. Should be a lot of fun. Underdog is the best place to play pick 'em. Download the app. Sign up with the promo code Woods. That's so I get credit for getting you. I won't get any money for it or anything, but they say, hey, Woodsy's getting some people over here to Underdog. That's why we do that, guys. Underdog app, use the promo code Woods. Deposit now. You will get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Woods. Must be 18 and over. Present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
Arbitration is definitely a weird process. In fact, the argument's been made a few times that maybe we should just get rid of this in Major League Baseball. But, you know, ultimately, the players like their ability to increase their salary before they hit free agency.
Sure.
That's basically why it was negotiated in the collective bargaining agreement.
Because if not, imagine this. Imagine Jackson Merrill is a good example. So Jackson Merrill comes up last year as a rookie. He's making the league minimum. And he has the monster season he has. Then he comes out this year and he has a monster season. And then he comes out the next year and he has a monster season. And then
this is Jackson Merrill.
And he's making $700,000 each year. Good money, certainly. But he's like, hey, do you guys want to keep me here? Should we be talking about a long-term extension? Yeah, we'll get to it. We still have you for 2 more years of control, and you're making the same amount of money. So you can absolutely see the risk-reward for a player of going, man, I sure hope I don't have to go into that room and get raked over the coals for an extra couple hundred grand or 500 grand or a million, whatever it is. But you know why they want to do it, and it does make sense. And guys can make good money in ARB, as you saw yesterday.
Yeah, you know, Juan Soto was making, what, almost $30 million in ARB.
I think Soto was
last year
31, and yeah. Shohei was 30, and Vladdy Jr. was 28.5 yesterday.
So based on the agreements that the Padres did reach yesterday, Luis Arraez, in his final arbitration-eligible season, will make $14 million,
yeah,
which was right around the projection. And it's a big number
for
Luis Arraez. You know, that's a number the Padres probably would like to have cut down a little bit, but because of that arbitration process, they knew he was going to get somewhere around there, so they ended up settling and finding the number that worked for both of them. Dylan Cease will receive $13.75 million, raised from last season, as he should. Finished fourth in the National League Cy Young voting and has proven himself for his last year of arbitration. Jason Adam, one of the better relievers in baseball, got $4.8 million for his arbitration number. Adrian Morejon, $2 million. That actually feels like a bargain
based on
how he contributed
year.
Last year. And then Luis Camposano got $1 million, which is now only about, you know, 200,000 above the major league minimum. And, you know, that's reflected because Luis Camposano finished the year in AAA.
Yeah.
Did not take a step forward in 2024. So he doesn't get a big raise, but gets that guaranteed and will remain with the Padres going forward. The guy, of course, that they failed to reach the agreement with was Michael King. A little further apart in their offers, the Padres offer $7.325 million to Michael King. King and his agent have come back with a number of $8.8 million. And here's how it's going to work. If the Padres and Michael King do not agree to a contract before whenever the arbitration hearing date is set, and it's usually in the first couple of weeks of spring training, we'll go into the room. We've talked about this. You know, both sides will get to present for an hour each their case as to why they think their number is more representative and accurate for the salary that he should deserve that season. A panel of three arbiters will then decide. And if they feel like Michael King is worth anywhere more than the halfway point, which is $8.0625 million, then Michael King gets $8.8 million. If they think he's worth like $8 million, then the Padres win and he'll get $7.325 million. They can't pick a number in between those two. It has to be either the Padres number or Michael King's number. He will make one of those two numbers in arbitration, which is why it's now a little more difficult for the two sides to come together for a one-year deal.
Right.
Because if the Padres are offering, like, let's say the Padres say, all right, we think you're worth $8.1 million, and we'll settle for that. Michael King will go, well, if you think I'm worth $8.1 million, then the arbitrators will also think I'm worth $8.1 million, and they'll have to give me $8.3
million. Yeah, 8.8.
Now, if the Padres say, we'll give you $8 million, and the, you know, King's side will say, well, if the Padres win at $8 million, then I only get $7.325. So it's really hard at this point now come up with a one-year deal, which is why oftentimes attention will turn to maybe just extending a long-term contract.
Well, yeah, or even a three-year deal. Like, you know, something like that.
Okay, but this,
longer.
This all does not, it's not black and white. It does not mean that things are about to get contentious. The Padres have no interest in locking up Michael King. They're trying to do him wrong, right?
No, not at all.
No,
I mean, who knows how ugly things get about how Josh Hader felt, you know, slighted and offended by the, you know, the case that the Milwaukee Brewers made against him at arbitration. It's certainly not a fun process to have your employer go in and point out the things that you're deficient at and, you know, areas where you don't meet up to their expectations and why they don't think you deserve quite as much as you think your side deserves. So it's not fun and it's probably not a feel good process. But if you have a normally thick skin and understand this is just part of the business, there's no reason why it should ruin the relationship between two sides.
So in the last segment, you were pointing out how, you know, maybe that $1.5 million actually makes a huge difference, like that they're saving with the luxury tax and all that. Is it possible that AJ could say, look, Michael, here's our situation. Like, this is why we're doing this. We want you long term. We're going to work something out. This is why this has to be. And it doesn't have to get, you know, you showed up late that one time and get all nitpicky.
Right. I'm sure that Michael King understands, you know, he reads the situation and knows, you know, Padres are trying to save a little money. And they just, you know, it's not that they made no offer. They've offered him $7.325 million. He thinks he's worth $8.8 million. And this is how the process works.
He made $3.15 million in 24. It's a good raise either way. But get your worth. You know, get what you think you're worth. And he did everything asked of him. And then some next year. Again, you look at the guys on that list and you see a guy that's well deserving of a raise. You don't want this. You don't want this to get ugly at all with a guy of Michael King's caliber. My silly copium that I'm smoking right now is that, yeah, they're off, $1.5 million here, but they're going to work out a three-year deal, a four-year deal or something to keep Michael King here for the next few. That's my hope.
That would be nice. The question now is, do the Padres have the flexibility to do it at the moment, considering everything that's swirling around? And, the piece that, you know, I'm still kind of going through it that came out in The Athletic this morning certainly raises some questions, things that we have already kind of addressed. The fact that, you know, the ownership situation that's going on right now, they talked to, you know, anonymous you know, ownership type sources around the league. And everyone says, well, that's obviously not great for the San Diego Padres. You know, whoever emerges eventually as the owner, or, you know, if there is a sale, it brings a lot of uncertainty for the future for the San Diego Padres. I think we all recognize that. There's no way around the fact that when you have one member of a family suing the other member of the family for control of the team, it's going to bring a lot of uncertainty in the situation. And it's definitely going to make the job that AJ Preller has to do, whether it's extending players, you know, whether it's creating a five-year plan, difficult with that amount of uncertainty swirling around ownership at the moment.
Yeah, I haven't read the piece yet. We were kind of skimming through it during the break, but is there any new information in there?
Not really. You know, it's just a recap of everything that's happened and just some opinions from anonymous people about, you know, what could happen and, you know, where the Padres stand. They did say, according to current ownership sources, so Eric Kitsenda is still the control person, interim control person, the Padres are not unable to sign people. There's, you know, the narrative that Padres can't, that, you know, AJ's hands are tied and he can't make
moves.
They
will not sign another player until this all gets settled in 2 years.
They said in the piece. That's not true.
Okay.
Now, you know, maybe it's informing some of their slow-moving decisions, but there's no reason they can't go out and make some moves here. No one's saying, AJ, you can't do anything at all until we get this figured out. That's not the case, according to this piece. This is just currently the strategy that they're operating under, that they have been moving slowly this offseason and have yet to find the right moves that, you know, that they do want to make. But I would still expect some of those moves to be made in the next few weeks before spring training starts.
Interesting. Yeah, for now it says the Padres are saying it's business as usual. Even as important dates loom on the calendar, Sasaki can sign with the team as soon as next week. The league's owner, sources said, could vote on John Seidler's candidacy for control person before pitchers and catchers report for spring training, which is about, what, 30 days away?
Yep.
30 days away. San Diego has still not made a trade or guaranteed any money in free agency. The coming weeks should help reveal the true state of affairs.
Oof.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this all changes. If we get to spring training and the Padres haven't signed a single, you know, player, they haven't added an outfielder, a catcher, a pitcher, they don't get Sasaki, nothing's been done. All right, then you can start, you know, raising some red flags as to, okay, what the heck is going on? At this point, as they said, business as usual. All right, well, business as usual the last 4 years has been much more
different.
Aggressive and active.
Yes, different business.
But baseball off-season business as usual doesn't require you to make any moves, you know, by January 10th.
Right.
You can make moves all the way into spring training and beyond. And AJ Preller has done that pretty much every off-season. You know, sometimes he makes moves earlier. Oftentimes he makes moves later. In that sense, business as usual continues, that, you know, AJ is on the phone with other GMs. He is still talking to agents. He is not sitting in an office doing nothing, like scrolling, you know, surfing the internet all day going, well, I can't do anything, so, you know, play a little online poker until someone tells me I'm allowed to do something this off season. His business seems to be operating as normal. He just hasn't been able to come up with, you know, the right contract for the right player, you know, at any point yet this off season.
Is that your opinion?
I think that's my very strong and educated opinion as to what's going on at the moment.
Because
clearly he hasn't been given a blank checkbook
to
go out and, hey, we don't care how much you spend, just go out and make the team better. Clearly no one has told him that.
Because there's a line in here that jumped off the page for me. And again, we're referencing the piece in The Athletic just dropped by Dennis Lynn and Ken Rosenthal, old pal Ken Rosenthal. It says, in the meantime, the Padres must grapple with significant uncertainty, or at least the perception of it. The perception, Ben, is that scenario you just laid out. The perception is that AJ is like, and not for a lack of want to or a lack of energy or effort, it's like, I'll just wait until you guys give me the go-ahead. Look, there's still some moves. Before all of this came out, Luis Arraez was still a trade candidate. Robert Suarez was still a trade candidate. Jake Cronenworth was still a trade candidate. There were even mentions early on a few weeks ago about Xander Bogaerts being a trade candidate. There's still Dylan Cease has been a big trade candidate. So they got a couple of those guys at least locked down so the other team knows if they're going to trade for him, this is what we got to pay him. So that kind of part of the step, you could get yourself more flexibility by moving a couple of pieces. I don't know which ones make the most sense. We've discussed all of them ad nauseum. Does it make sense to move on from Luis Arraez? Maybe, if the package is right. Does it make sense to move on from Dylan Cease? Maybe. I think that would hurt me the most, just because you need those innings. Does it make sense to move on from Robert Suarez? Maybe.
Yeah, really? And they bring up all of those guys as potential trade candidates, and Jake Cronenworth as well. Yep. But he said leaked sources said the Padres recently indicated they would prefer to hold on to at least Arraez, but his newly agreed upon $14 million salary, as of yesterday, poses a potential obstacle to addressing other areas of the roster.
Yeah, and then, you know, the anonymous quotes, the industry veteran quotes, nothing good is going to come of this. Even the combatant that wins is not going to look good. I disagree with the fact that, you know, nothing good can come of this. Something good can come of it. You know, it can. Now, it depends. It depends on how it all shakes out. Anytime something like this is played out and litigated publicly, it's not great. It's not great for any party. There are parties that look good, and there are parties that don't look good. And, you know, I don't know how it's all going to shake out. I have no idea. But one thing, and they bring this up in the article as well, and this is Dennis Lynn and Ken Rosenthal saying, yeah, I mean, they scoffed at the notion that the San Diego Padres would be relocated, and I tend to agree with that. But what they didn't address is that the San Diego Padres could be sold at some point. And I think that is something that maybe looms. Could that eventually be a good thing? Who knows?
Let's talk about a potential sale. First, we'll check traffic, and we got a few more minutes this hour. We can broach that topic and what they said here coming up next on 97.3 The Fan. So, the reality of, you know, ownership of professional sports is that a team, it really can always be sold. You know, there's no guarantee that your owner's gonna keep your team forever. In fact, it's almost guaranteed that eventually teams will get sold. And they bring up the point that this happened to the Baltimore Orioles about 3 years ago when one brother, Angelo's brother, sued the other. They ended up having to settle, and then they ended up selling to David Rubenstein, who's the new owner of the Baltimore Orioles. Could that happen in the Padres' circumstances? Yeah. I think that's something you have to prepare yourself for. Now, you don't have to think of that as necessarily the worst case outcome, though. The good news is that the Padres are in such better state of affairs than they were a decade ago. You know, they've turned themselves into a much more attractive product, business.
What's the market cap on those guys? Yeah, they're worth like $2 billion now.
Yeah, you know, this team is going to be worth more. And anyone who would be interested in buying it would have to have extremely deep pockets. No one's coming in and scooping up the Padres on the cheap and, you know, squeezing the cash out of it. If someone wanted to buy the Padres, they do it because they are passionate about baseball and want to get into the business of baseball, and likely because they want to win a World Series. So I don't really have any fear that whatever happens going forward, that the Padres, like in the 1990s, are going to get sold to someone like Tom Werner, who's then going to have a fire sale and then going to have to resell the team.
It could happen. The thing that bums me out, though.
Yeah, but we're not really seeing that. The teams that are getting bought nowadays, like the Orioles,
right.
You know, the guys are saying, I'm excited. You know, I want to win.
Now, the Mets, Steve Cohen. I get it. But it doesn't, there's no guarantee that, you know, Jeff Bezos is going to come in here and go, I'm ready to spend whatever I can to get this team a winner. There's the thing that bums me out. Peter told us this. He told everybody when he was alive the Padres are staying in the Seidler family for years to come.
Decades
to come. So if that doesn't happen, we're not exactly doing what his legacy or what his wishes were, no matter who ends up with.
Yeah, we know that for sure. That's true.
You know? Yeah. Like, he said it. He told us, we're not going anywheres, right? We're staying in the Seidler family.
We're not going anywheres.
We got to get these dudes on the same page. We got to figure it out. But, I mean, so could it be detrimental if you sell to the wrong person? Sure. But I think just the act of selling the San Diego Padres to somebody else immediately, Benny, wipes out kind of what we were talking.
I think overall in pro sports, they've been kind of weeding out the wrong person.
I agree.
Though,
I do agree.
In ownership.
I do. That is such a good point. And until, you know, somebody shows up at Bob Nutting's door with a check or...
The old one, you know, the guys who have owned and inherited teams, John Fisher,
yes.
The old ones have been problems. The Dean Spanoses, you know, the longtime family ones,
yep.
Some of those are still around.
The new blood.
But all the new owners...
They want to win.
They want to win. That's is why they've gotten into it. And they have extremely deep pockets.
Yep.
And, you know, will not get into this business thinking... Oh yeah, this looks like a really good investment that I'm going to make. They're probably going to get in because they want to play, you know, they want to play poker at the big table with the big teams. And, you know, the Padres are now one of those high level teams that's worth a lot of money that if they bought them, that they're immediately, you know, anteing in for an incredible amount of money. It wouldn't make any sense to tear that down or do anything that would damage the product. If you're going to buy the team right now.
Yeah,
so.
100%. I've seen all the rumors that have come out in the last few days. I've had many people ask me questions. And I've said it from the get-go. I don't know any other of the Seidler brothers. I knew Peter very well, and we know Tom Seidler very, very well, and I knew Shiel Seidler. That's it. That's the Seidler extent. I've met the kids, but I've never met anybody else. I've never seen them. I've never heard from them other than these statements recently. I can't speak to it. I can't speak to what he wants to do. If he is, in fact, named control person in a couple of weeks before pitchers and catchers report, I have no idea, Ben, what John Seidler's vision is. None. Zero. I haven't heard a word.
Yeah, and I would expect that he would have to at some point lay that out for everybody.
No question.
That would be, you know, imperative, I would imagine, to smooth things out and calm fears among the fan base that you're going to have
to come
out and show what you're all about.
Yeah.
You know, tell us what you're all about at some point. Now, I would say it's unlikely to hear from that until they go through the process of approval. That's not going to play out publicly. Any statements you make right now probably are not in the best interest of the business. So they're going to get through this behind the scenes, and then at some point, as we get closer to the season, I'd imagine we'll learn more about John Seidler and, you know, what their vision is of the Padres going forward.
Maybe. Right? Maybe.
Maybe. See. All right. We are 1 hour in. We will come back. We have Don't Do This in our 7 o'clock hour. Paulie wanted to bring up this weird tweet from the Storm as well next on The Fan.